What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is it?
It's time for News from the Nest
with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Don't miss out. Buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, no interest or payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Ravens meeting with the media coming up at 12:15. Roquan Smith, Derrick Henry, Tyler Linderbaum, and strength coaches are making it happen as well. Stay tuned for that. But let's revisit Eric DaCosta, Liars Luncheon last week. Topic we've discussed, continue to discuss until this is all resolved in 8 days. Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, talk about the depth of this year's quarterback class.
I think it's a solid class. Certainly probably not at the level of the receiver and offensive line. Very cyclical. But definitely some players who can come in right away and probably compete to start for us. We would love to add a talented corner at some point in the draft, whether that's first round or second round, third round, whatever that might be, a talented player who can help us.
Yeah, they've... I mean, every year when we hear Eric talk, at certain positions, there's a guy we like in every round. And, you know, it's going to come down to at 30 is when you're sitting at 30, if there's an old tackle there and there's a corner there, all right, because you're sitting there, okay, when I look at my board, what's got a better chance to be there in the second round? Where do we have a lot of guys in the second round that could come plug and play for us? And if there's no corners that can come in and help us, then you got to take a corner at 30. But if there's a number of corners and a number of O linemen, then you take the best guy at 30. But if not, then you got to take the one that there's a big drop off.
Speaking of offensive line, Eric DaCosta talks about the state of his, at least as of last week, looking ahead to the draft.
Well, I mean, I certainly think it's a big factor for us in terms of team building this year. I mean, we spent the entire day yesterday, just to give you an idea, all of yesterday, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, was spent on the offensive line. And that's not necessarily because it's a big priority for us as much as the volume of players at those positions this year. It took us a long time to cover through all those players and go through all the information and get them ranked. So it's a very deep pool of players. We see a lot of different opportunities in different rounds to get players at tackle, guard, and center. And we're excited about that.
Yeah, and the thing that you've got to do, too, like when he's talking about ranking them or whatever, there's, you know, all right, you have left tackles, right tackles, guards, guys that can play left tackle or right tackle, guys that can play, you know, center guard and tackle like a Makari. You know, all those types of things figure into it, because versatility, when you look at the Ravens guys, versatility is big. And why do you need versatility? Because you can only dress so many on Sunday, and you got to have a backup center, you got to have a backup left tackle and right but you can only activate three. So that's why versatility is huge.
Offensive line is pretty huge, to borrow your word there. And we were talking yesterday, Vinny, we've discussed it many times before, the in-house candidates. I mean, there are a couple of guys entering the third year. Daniel Faalele, Ben Cleveland. Upside, do you see it? Are they what they thought they were? Well, I guess not. Or they'd be playing, yeah. They'd be starting right
because
now.
We have, like when we hear Harbs talk, everything's about competing. Mm-hmm. If they were what they thought they were, Bob, it was like, well, we're fine. Ben Cleveland's going to be the left guard. Faalele's the right tackle. We don't need that there. I mean, everything we've heard Harb say, well, you know, if we don't fix the O-line, we're hosed. Well, you know, you talk about in-house candidates, and it's like, if we don't fix the O-line, we're hosed.
Yeah.
So the in-house candidates will compete.
It looks like Daniel Faalele will give be given every opportunity to win the job. But if they draft a tackle, Vinny, at 30, Felelele's not starting.
No, absolutely not. You know, Daniels had 3 years to take that spot. And if you haven't taken it yet, we're going to give this. All right, he's going to come in. The guy, all right, we take Bob Haney at 30.
Yeah.
And he's a right tackle.
Oh.
When he may not be the starter, Felelele may be starting the first day or so, but if the other kid looked, it's just a matter of time.
I'm more of an end guard and tackle. Sit at the end of the bench, guard the water, tackle anybody that gets close to it. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. It is news from the Nest. Kyle Van Noy is back. That's good. Unfortunately, Jadeveon Clowney took the money and went home to Carolina. But here's the EDC talking about this year's pass rush talent in the draft.
Well, I think it's an average draft, I would say, for edge pass rushers. There's certainly some guys at the top. For us, we've had success throughout the years in finding some guys in the middle rounds that have been good players for us. It really depends on what you're looking for. You've got your speed rushers, your power guys, guys that can do both, guys that have to play in a three-point stance, guys that can play in two-point stance. So a lot of it has to do with just your fit and what you're looking for. Our coaches play a big part in that in their evaluation. Chuck Smith does a really, really good job evaluating pass rushers and has done a good job for us coaching those guys as well. So we'll get the board squared away. Certainly some guys at the top that probably won't be there when we pick.
Yeah, the guys at the top, what's interesting when Eric says it's not a a great class, I agree. Because, and kind of like what Eric was saying, like Dallas Turner, he's a speed rusher. He doesn't play to run very well. So, all right, how do I fit him in? And Lutu, is the injury, is even on their board because of the next stuff. There's not one guy that is, he's got it all. Because we're not even talking about the first defensive possible player even possibly going till 8 or 9, and it's all offense. So it's not a great year for it. And, like with Chop Robinson, I mean, he's got shorter arms. He doesn't have a ton of production. He's got great speed and burst, those kind of. So he's got this, but there's a lot of buts on all those guys.
Eric DaCosta, now we know the Ravens, signed Derrick Henry. Monumental acquisition in the offseason. He's the number one guy. Keaton Mitchell's going to be out for a while if he returns at all after that significant knee injury suffered late in the season. Eric, running back in the draft, what's the deal here?
I think so. I mean, I think it was an interesting dynamic this year in free agency. You saw whatever it was, maybe 9 or 10 guys get signed on the first day of free agency. And I think part of that was probably, how people looked at this running back class in the draft. There's no like top tier first round necessarily type talents this year. That being said, there's a lot of guys. If you're looking at the prospects in the second, third, and fourth round, there's a lot of those guys, particularly third, fourth, fifth round clumps.
Yeah, and I think the run, like Eric said, I think there'll be a run on running backs probably mid-third, whenever it starts. In the third, if you're in the third round and then we start seeing them going, boom, boom, boom. If you want one, you better get one because that's when the run's going.
Ravens have 9 picks. Is that cool with you right now, Eric DaCosta?
Well, it's great to have additional picks. You certainly have to have players that you covet and that you want to draft. And so that's always a factor with every draft. I mean, you could have 15 picks and sometimes you're there and at the end of the draft and you're looking at the board and you have no idea who you want to pick. You just don't see anybody that you really covet. So, I always think about it as like, what picks do you need to get the players that you want to take? So you can have some great picks, but if the board doesn't fall the right way and you're looking at a bunch of players that aren't any better than the players you have on your roster, those picks really don't help you very much. So I like the idea of having more picks, but I want to have more picks in a specific range.
Yeah, I'm sure the range should probably be 2, 3, and 4 is, when you get the most value for the picks. What he's talking about, like, he's in a similar situation, Bob, like I was in San Fran, where you got a really good team when you win it all the time and you've got good players. Expectations are always high. You have a high-priced quarterback. And you're saying to yourself, because we had, like, a couple times we had seventh round pick making the San Francisco 49ers or the Baltimore Ravens where they are right now, it's like impossible, you know, and it's like Eric said, it's a wasted pick. I mean, what we used to do in the seventh round, Carmen Policy would get to pick the seventh round pick. I mean, that's what we would do with our, you know, it was just a, because it wasn't happening. And, you know, what Eric made, you know, like he's talked about trading this year's pick for a sixth next year kind of thing, doing that. Or if an, let's just say that they took two or three offensive linemen in the draft. Maybe there's an undrafted free agent that they like, but they know they can't get that kid. Take your later seventh and draft the guy because then you're sure that you'll get him.
It's 88-80-105-7. The Fan will come back, count our money, buy or sell midweek style, and talk about the sports subjects of this Woman Crush Wednesday. Stay tuned for that. Jim Hunter, Baltimore Baseball Tonight colleague, longtime voice of the Orioles, Birds, and Twins, 105, tarps off the field. Orioles go for the sweep before they hit the road to Kansas City over the weekend. Draft profile number two of the day, staying on the offensive line. We're going to Norman, Oklahoma, everybody. Buckle up. We got you covered here on The Fan.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday here on 105.7 The Fan. Orioles and Twins, 105. Keep you up to date on the scores. The game begins in less than an hour. Got some media stuff going on with the Ravens out at one winning drive happening here, I believe, in real time or about to happen for sure. Oh, they're happening, baby. It's happening. So we'll have that coming your way. Another draft profile. Jim Hunter talking Orioles. NHL, the Caps are in. Warriors are out in the NBA. Cundiffed unceremoniously, but plenty in between. But right now, let's count our money. I'm a little buyer still.
Well, the Dow's down 118. The S&P's down 28. NASDAQ's down 134. DraftKings down $1.74. Under Armour's up 3 cents.
Buy or Sell is brought to us by the Farmer's Dog. Start in the NFL, where Patrick Mahomes has had a chance to connect with his newest receiver, Marquise Brown. Mm-hmm. The two have been working out together, running their own passing drills. So when Mahomes was asked about it earlier this week, said, quote, "You see the speed instantly. I think it'll be even more different than you've seen him before, because I think we could utilize him in different ways that he hasn't been utilized yet." Vinny, are you buying or selling that we'll see a different Marquise Brown this season?
I'll buy it for one reason and one reason only. He signed a one-year deal. He's got to do well. And, I mean, he's got to be a better yak guy. That's the biggest thing with him, be a better yak guy. And if he can do that, then you're more like Tyreek Hill was for the Chiefs.
And with Rashee Rice probably hitting Sheriff Goodell's naughty list, there are going to be many opportunities, right? I assume.
Although, right? Andy Reid did say Tony is one of, you know, the most impressive or most talented receivers on their team.
They're still trying to make that work?
I guess. Must have been his idea to trade for him.
How much more kindness do you need to kill him?
Yeah.
Gotta stay away from that turf monster if you're a Marquise Brown there. Get you every time.
Yeah.
A little baseball here. We know that there's never any love lost between division rivals, but things did get chippy over the weekend with the Dodgers and the Padres meeting for the first time this year. San Diego has remained in LA's shadow for years now, despite making big financial efforts in recent history, even some big trades as well. You have to go back to 2020, the shortened COVID season. The Padres finished 6 games behind the eventual world champs. That's the closest they've been to the Dodgers in the standings at any time during this competitive window. Buy or sell, Bob, this year's Padres team will actually be more competitive against the Dodgers than years past.
Yeah, I'll buy it. And we saw it last weekend, Chavez Ravine. as you said, LA's still the better team. But San Diego last year, colossal disappointment. I mean, Bob Melvin's like, get me the hell out of Dodge. But we'll see how it goes. They'll compete. They got a big payroll, as we've talked about. You just mentioned, Nolan. But, you know, the Dodgers are still the team to beat there.
Back to the NFL. Heard a lot of opinions on this year's draft. Guests, our own listeners, even Eric DaCosta himself talking about it. And one constant remains through all of their opinions that the O-line and wide receiver depth is abundant, not only in the first round, but well into day two as well. Then you throw in an expected early run on quarterbacks. Thursday night next week looks like it could be very offensive heavy. According to Adam Schefter, there's never been an NFL draft with more than 19 offensive players picked in the first round. That's happened three different years, most recently in 2009. Vinny, buy or sell, at least 20 of our 32 first-rounders are offensive players.
I'm going to buy it. And most of it's three positions. O-line wide receivers, and quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be one tight end will go. You know, no running backs. So that'll make most of it.
What do you think about not to digress too much, but what Kyle said last hour, the receiver sitting there, Ravens stunned the world with that one?
That would be a stunner. You know, I mean, can he block a pass rusher?
Or get to the quarterback?
And can he pedal?
How about a little NBA here, or the Olympics, rather?
What?
The United States has announced that their rosters for the Summer Olympics this year, and they're looking to do better than they did in the FIBA World Cup last year, where they didn't even medal. So this year, Summer Olympics, very important. As you would expect, LeBron James, Steph Curry, KD are leading the way on that roster, but there is plenty of guard depth as well. Guys like Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Tyrese Halliburton all made the roster. One notable missing name, Jalen Brunson. Knicks fans not happy about it either. He's been a better scorer, if you're just going off points per game, than those four other guys I just listed. Other skill sets probably considered, I'm sure, but Bob, buy or sell, Brunson should have made the Olympic team.
I mean, you're replacing one stud with another stud. I mean, it's all about status, and yeah, it's a meritocracy. Grant Hill's got a lot to do with the construction of that roster, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Halliburton, I think the guy's pretty awesome, so I'm going to sell it. Sorry, Knicks. You're ready to get bounced as the 2 seed, by the way, in the first round of the playoffs. And it really is the Olympics already?
The summer. Paris.
A lot, of older dudes on that team.
Is Michael Phelps favored to win the gold medal?
No. I don't keep up.
Oh, okay.
We'll close with this in the NFL. The Raiders, they made a big splash this offseason by signing Christian Wilkins to a 4-year deal. He recorded a career-high 9 sacks this past year with Miami, quickly becoming one of the best interior pass rushers in the game. Now you pair him with one of the best guys on the edge, Max Crosby. That combination of those two has Crosby very excited about the possibilities for the Vegas defense. But Vinny, buy or sell, playing alongside each other will allow both Wilkins and Crosby to set new career highs in sacks.
What Crosby had quite a bit this
14
year.
14 and a half. Also a career high this last year.
It
9
could
for
have
Wilkins.
Been the defensive player of the year in some people's eyes.
I'll buy it. Kind of like Matabike and Clowney and Vannoy. They all had their best years.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll talk some Orioles. Jim Hunter, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Our colleague, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, on weeknight home and road games. Orioles are playing at 105. We'll talk about that one. Look back at last night's win. And the state of the starting rotation outside of Burns and Rodriguez, a little bit questionable. I'm still confident in Dean Kramer, but the rest, not so much. What does Jim think?
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Birds and Twins coming up at 105. Tarp is off the field. They're ready to rock and roll. Orioles going for the sweep after 11-3 drubbing last night of the Twins. Orioles have won 3 in a row. Starting rotation, however, could have some issues here. Not last night, by the way, and here to talk about that and more, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, longtime voice of the Orioles. He's on the Maryland Sports Commission fan hotline. Let's welcome in, as we do every Wednesday, he's Jim Hunter. Jim, what's up?
Hey, partner, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, my man. I appreciate the time, as always. And before we get to the problems that the Orioles might face, Brandon Hyde and the rest with the starting staff, let's talk about one of the problems that doesn't exist, and that's what Grayson Rodriguez takes the ball every fifth day. And yesterday, goes six strong, as he said, and Brandon Hyde himself said as well, after the game, the fastball command, not where they wanted it to be, three walks. He's been real tight, giving up the free passes here. But when he hits the hill, I expect quality. No concerns with him any longer. And we're talking about a guy, Jim, as you well know, hasn't even pitched a full season in the majors. So talk about Grayson Rodriguez now compared to where we saw him, say, a year ago at this time, and even back in September of last year.
Well, you know, Bob, I think it gives us an indication of how good he is or can be. Because last night, as you mentioned, he really didn't have as good command. He walked three batters, but he gave them six solid innings and allowed two runs on four hits. So if he could go to his secondary pitches to get himself out of a couple of jams, which he did, he had a really good changeup last night, a really good breaking ball, but he kept missing high with the fastball. And Ben McDonald on the telecast was saying that it had something to do with the arm and where he delivered the ball. And that's something that's correctable in his next bullpen. But it really just shows you just how good he is and can be, that on a night where he really doesn't have his good stuff, he only allows four hits and three walks, seven base runners over six innings. And that's a quality start. I mean, two earned runs in six innings is a quality start. And he did his job. He gave his team a chance to win, and they won.
Now, Jim, this news broke as we were on the air with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, live from Pickles Pub. Tyler Wells is going on the IL, 15 days, elbow inflammation, so setback for him. Another hole in this Orioles rotation. Albert Suarez will start today, 34-year-old right-hander. Hasn't pitched in the majors since 2017 with the Giants. Bradish pitched last night, three scoreless. Only one hit, four Ks, no walks. Means he's on the hill tonight, his fourth rehab start, but he hasn't pitched past three. We're hoping, perfect world scenario, Jim Hunter, they'll both be back, but not anytime soon. So who's the next guy that they're going to have to plug into that five-man rotation to keep things afloat there? Because they're not going to score 11 runs every game, I don't think.
Well, you know, you look at what the starters have done collectively. They're 5-4 as a staff with a 4.12 ERA. And that actually has improved because of Grayson. They're 14th now in the MLB. Going into yesterday's game, they were 15th. But you look at the rotation, they're 8-0 in the eight games started by Burns and Rodriguez, and they're 3-6 in the nine games started by the rest of the rotation. And that is an issue, because you can't just rely on two starters, because three other starters have to fill one time through the rotation. So I don't know what the option is. Is it too early to go out and make a trade? Maybe. But they certainly have enough capital in this system to go out and make a trade. I mean, I would love to get Jesus Luzardo from the Marlins. You know, he's a quality left-hander. He's in the prime of his career. He's only in his mid-20s. You know, they're going to have to hope. And Bradish was really good last night, and that was encouraging, because he went three innings, struck out four, only allowed one base hit, and came out of it feeling good. His arm felt good. So hopefully he won't be too far off in the future, but the rotation is certainly a big question mark. And you know, when two starters are a combined 8-0 and the team wins and the rest of the rotation is 3-6, that is certainly a question.
Well, Jim Hunter, you must add your crystal ball out yesterday on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, because you talked about Ryan O'Hearn and what he meant to the team. He goes out and mashes away. So his impact, he's in right field tonight. Maybe not his best spot, but it is what it is. And then Colton Cowser, after the golden sombrero, bouncing back with a couple of knocks and ribbies too.
Yeah, you know, it was actually a very good team win last night, because you look at what they did. at the plate, and they had, what, five guys with multi-hit games out of the nine players in the lineup, and that's very good. They also hit three more home runs last night, which is the fourth consecutive game they've hit four home runs. And, oh, by the way, the Orioles now lead the major leagues in home runs with 27, and they have nine multi-home run games in the 17 games they played. So they're really playing well. And, you know, you got to give Ryan O'Hearn credit. He said after the game, he was asked by the reporters if he has a favorite position. He says, "I'll do whatever the manager asks me to do, and I'll go out there and try to help the team." And that's what you and I talked about last night on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. The fact that he is a role player, he understands he's a role player, and he thrives in that. I mean, he's had one at-bat all year against a left-handed pitcher, and, you know, he's 0-for-1, but the damage he's doing, you look at the home run power, he almost had two home runs last night, but Buxton robbed him as he planted himself into the wall in center field. But, you know, you look at the production, four home runs for O'Hearn, and he's really doing a good job. And when you have a guy that's that versatile and the manager can plug him in wherever he needs to do it and have that quality left-handed bat against right-handed pitching, that is a really positive to have. And he really is working out and thriving in this role as a role player.
Jim Hunter, Baltimore Baseball Tonight colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, longtime voice of the Orioles. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. We know the struggles are there with Jackson Holliday with the stick, but his track record, granted he's only 20 years old, says he's going to hit eventually. Your impressions of him with the glove so far at second base, getting acclimated to a new position there defensively?
Yeah, I think he's been outstanding with the glove. I mean, he made a couple of really good plays last night on tough hops to get the out at first base. And as far as the hitting goes, you know, and you and I talked about this on BBT, I wish he would get a little bit more aggressive earlier in the count. He takes a lot of pitches. He obviously has confidence in what he believes the strike zone is. I think he got a little bit screwed last night by the home plate umpire on a couple of pitches that were balls that were called strikes. And that hurts you, obviously, because it changes the count. Instead of 1-1, it's 0-2. And now you're in a deep hole. But, you know, as we said last night on the show, until you have two strikes, you are in command. And you look at what Gunnar has done since he turned his season around last year and eventually won the Rookie of the Year. He decided he was going to get aggressive early in the count, look for a pitch, put it in play, and hit it hard. And he has done that. And, you know, last night he had three more base hits. He hit another home run. He had three RBIs by being aggressive early in the count. And I think that's what Jackson needs to do because he continues to fall behind in the count. And that has led to all the strikeouts that he's picking up because it's hard to come back when you're down 0-2 or 1-2 in the count because you're then at the pitcher's command. So if he goes earlier in the count, in fact, the other day when he got his first base hit, his only base hit so far, it was the second pitch in at bat. He got a breaking ball for ball one, and then he got a fastball. And he ripped it almost 100 miles an hour on that pitch into right field for a base hit. So I think if he follows the philosophy that Gunnar took up last year and gets aggressive earlier in the count. Now, I'm not saying chasing pitches. Again, until you have two strikes, you're still in control, and you can look for a certain pitch and put it in play. I understand he has a lot of confidence in his batting eye and his confidence in the strike zone, but he's falling behind 1-2 and 0-2 much too often to be successful.
Hey, Jim, how important is it for the Orioles for Mullins to be doing what he's been doing?
Well, he's been great, Vinny, and you know you look at what he adds. I mean, he's got now a seven-game hitting streak, which began last week in Boston with the first game. He's got a hit in every one of those games since. And not only defensively does he help you, he's a Gold Glove caliber center fielder, as we all know, but he adds the component of speed, and I was so happy to see he stole a base last night. Bob and I have talked about this. You know, they have yet to be thrown out on the base paths, which is incredible. As a team, they have 12 stolen bases and no caught stealing, but he's one of the most proficient base stealers on the club, and I was happy to see last night that he actually went out and stole a base. But he is so important to the middle of the lineup, wherever the manager puts him. I mean, last night he was fifth. The night before he was seventh. But his bat is so important because not only does he get on base, but he has the potential to hit the long ball. And that is a bonus for any lineup.
Jim Hunter, our colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, 105.7 The Fan, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Jim, we appreciate the time as always. I will see you Friday night getting ready for the Royals game, one of that series in Kansas City.
Looking forward to it, guys. Have a good day.
You got it, Jim Hunter, everybody. Now, we won't be in Kansas City. The Orioles will. We'll be here in the studio. When we come back, we're going to Norman, Oklahoma. Not really. We're talking about a guy from Norman, Oklahoma, who could be available, perhaps, at pick 30 for the Ravens as the draft profiles continue on. Brian Bacco, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He'll join us for some NFL lunch, talk about what's happening up there in Pittsburgh. American League East report, interesting night in the AL East last night. And then Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com. We'll talk Major League Baseball with him as we talk about the first 3 weeks of this 2024 MLB season.
With the 30th pick.
This is Vinny's Draft Profiles.
The Baltimore Ravens select
Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
I think the biggest thing is definitely having quick feet, being light on your feet. Basketball definitely translates to football in that sense. That's probably the biggest thing possible. And being able to stay in front of the defender.
NFL Draft, first round of 2024, 8 days from today in Detroit. Ravens have the 30th pick in it. They could use an offensive tackle. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Draft profile number two of the day takes us to Norman, Oklahoma. And Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma. 6'8", 322, ran 5.19. And I still don't think that's bad for a guy that big. 176.10, which is good. 34 and an eighth arm, good arm length, 10 and a quarter hand, jersey 60, redshirt junior. 34 and a half vertical, excellent. 8.11 broad jump, 7.53 cone, 4.71 short shuttle, all good. He was a three-star defensive tackle as a senior in high school. Went to TCU first. Had one start in 20 and 21. 31 snaps total. Transferred to OU. Started 14 games, mostly at right tackle. And he gave up zero sacks in 23. Two sacks in 22 with 12 pressures. Now, his strengths, he's got size. He's got length, body build. Good job at the Senior Bowl in pass pro. Did a really nice job at the Senior Bowl in pass pro, because what happens is he's coached by the pros, and pro coaches, they love seeing a guy coached by pros, and they love at the Senior Bowl seeing a guy on Monday, and then you see him Tuesday and he gets better, and then Wednesday he even gets better, and then Thursday he gets better, because why? He takes to coaching well. Runs well for his size, good knee bend, can slide his feet very well and pass, good mirror, can pull and run, turn up, some ability to adjust in space, good knee bend and flexibility. Slides easily. Better job at the Senior Bowl. Getting pad level down. And I'm sure that was, excuse me, at OU, probably wasn't a two-point stance all the time, and he's playing tall. Senior Bowl, they're going to put you in a three-point stance because they want to see how you can play, you know, what you're going to be doing more in the pro game. And he got his pad level down. He can bend his knees. And when you're at 6'8", you just want to look around. And you can be a much better player with your knees bent. Good at combo blocks up to the linebacker. Good nimble feet. Weakness. Needs to get better punch in pass. Needs work on punch and extension in pass. Must sustain longer. Will bend and lose man. Must stay low in pass. He gets high and driven. Two-point stance all the time. Must get pad level down in both run and pass. Needs to get stronger, needs to work with
Head and hand placement in pass. Needs to improve play recovery. In summary, this kid has great size, doesn't have a lot of play time, and is raw. Gets too high at times, especially in the run game. The thing I liked, he got better as the season went along, and I like his play at the Senior Bowl. He was much more confident at the Senior Bowl. Needs more time, big ceiling, athletic enough to try at left, but most of all, his play time at right tackle. We'll get overdrafted.
Ooh. Tyler Guyton, rated number 5 on Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board at offensive tackle in the 3-round dueling mock draft that we've been referencing the last couple of days. Tyler Guyton goes number 24 overall to the Dallas Cowboys.
A lot of mocks, Bob, have him going to the Cowboys. I mean, they need a left tackle.
But behind Mims, are you? Is that appropriate? Mims first, Guyton second, if you're taking one before the other?
I think both are kind of raw, Bob, to be totally honest. Both haven't played a ton. That's the thing. You know, like, what makes Alt's, you know, Alt's been playing a lot at Notre Dame. Why is Linderbaum? He's a 4-year starter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that helps a lot. And these guys are 6'8 guys that are big guys. Mims has played 8 games. This kid has played 2 years. So there's still a lot of work to be done. But the thing that you like is, especially with Guyton, is at the Senior Bowl and at the end of the year, got better, better, and better. So you see, all right, if I keep working with this guy, OTAs, mini camp, training camp, by the start of the season, he'll be ready.
So either one of those guys
be great
would be an upgrade over Daniel Falele. Just
for athleticism and stuff, yeah.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan. We'll talk about the Steelers. They're offseason. I don't know if you heard, but they've changed their quarterback room pretty dramatically. Got that coming your way. Orioles line up against the Twins. 105 first pitch, which, 10 minutes from now? Gunnar Henderson leading off at shortstop. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Ryan O'Hearn will fire right field. Anthony Santander, the DH. Ryan Mountcastle at first. Cedric Mullins, center field. Colton Cowser left. Jordan Westberg, he's batting eighth. Jackson Holliday, second base, batting ninth. Eddie Julian's at second base for the Twins, leading off. Jeffers behind the plate. Buxton's the DH. Kirilloff right field. Miranda's at first base. Larnick's in left field. Martin center field. Castro's at shortstop. Farmer's at third. Albert Suarez makes his Orioles debut in place of Tyler Wells, who's on the IL. And Pablo Lopez, tough right-hander, off to a slow start. He's on the hill for the Twins. Going to feed you some football. NFL Lunch Style with Brian Bacco. American League East Report coming up at 1:15. And then more Major League Baseball talk. Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.